Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary, a podcast designed for women in ministry. I'm Bridget Tomlin, founder of Sanctuary, a ministry for ministry wives. Our desire is to break free from isolation and foster authentic connection. Let's redefine sanctuary. Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary. If you're listening to this the week we're releasing it, you are most likely neck deep in summer plans as June brings so many exciting opportunities. I think back to my own childhood as my father was a district youth director for the Assemblies of God in Oklahoma, and the summer was completely packed with activities keeping us away from home for about 10 weeks each summer, and I loved every single minute of it. Those 12 years or so that I spent with my family directing youth camps, leading teams of students on missions trips, district camp meetings, national conferences, so many fun things, but definitely busy times. And many of you are doing all of those things, plus taking family vacations, perhaps producing vacation Bible schools, and challenging families to stay in the pocket of church attendance while we also enjoy so many fun things that summer can bring. So welcome to the podcast today. I hope that we are just going to be maybe something that you're able to enjoy even while you're doing so many of these amazing summer activities. You know, back in the month of February 2022, we introduced today's guest, Kelly Ferguson, to you as we began a discussion focused on ministry to women. And if you haven't done so already, I want to encourage you to go back to see Season 2, Episode 13. So you'll find that in February. I'll try to leave a link for it in our show notes as well. You're going to hear the heart of this amazing woman who is going to be sharing with us once again today. And this is the second of four episodes that we will be featuring throughout this year on women's ministries. And I mentioned back in February that Kelly serves alongside her husband, Benny, as lead pastors at Calvary Church in Frederick, Maryland. She's an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God, and she serves in a variety of leadership capacities regionally and nationally. Benny and Kelly have four children. She's passionate about reaching the lost and discipling the found. And Kelly loves connecting women to God and to one another, and she believes that sisterhood is for every girl. Kelly, we welcome you back to Let's Talk with Sanctuary. Thank you so much for giving us this time again today. You know, sisterhood is the direction that we're going to take today, as you mentioned in our last conversation together about the top value that you place upon cultivating connection within ministry to women in the 21st century. So today we're going to just start out by looking at that term connection. You know, Kelly, we hear this term everywhere these days. The word connection is huge, and ironically, not lost on me over these last couple of years, especially how important that word has become. We use that term often through what we're doing here at Sanctuary, but what does that look to you in terms of relationships between women?
Yeah, it's such a good question. The word is so important to me, and even increasingly as I look around, even within the walls of our own church and the women that I interact with on a daily and weekly basis, and just have found that connection is so vital. It's vital to our mental health, to our spiritual health, even our physical health. And I'm just looking around and noticing that there's so much. I think we're in a stage right now, kind of post, I don't know that we can say we're post-COVID, kind of post-COVID in this new time of life we're in, where I think we are seeing now the results of so much that has happened over the last 2 years. And I'll tell you, in the churches, I've been in many churches in this last couple months, even doing women's events and being with different women and sisterhood groups. And the same story is being told everywhere, that women are struggling, women are hurting. And I think we're finding rates of anxiety and depression and loneliness like never before. In fact, I read a statistic just a couple weeks ago that 4 out of every 10 teenage girls would say that they are feeling helpless, that they are anxious and depressed. And this report was done not even from like a Christian organization, but from a medical organization. Mm-hmm. And the words that they used were that young women, that the rates are much higher, the rates that are recorded, or reported, are much higher for for females, but the rate of anxiety and depression that's happening right now in our culture amongst teenage girls and young women is just skyrocketed. And the verbiage that they used was that American teenage girls are echoing a cry for help. Mm. And it's just, I see it in rates I've never seen before. I mean, the things even just within our own church that women are finally being honest about that they're going through. And we are seeing crisis at levels I have never seen in my life before. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that we're coming off of, you know, 2 years of people having been so isolated and not connected that now all of these things are coming to the surface. And I really believe that it's connected to our isolation. And, you know, we're made body, soul, and spirit. And so we're seeing even rates, immune systems are lower. It's all connected, you know, and so as anxiety is growing, as depression is growing, as people's health is declining, I believe really that it all comes back to that we have been isolated in such an unhealthy way for so long that now we're seeing the results of what that does. You know, Benny and I went to Africa on a trip a couple years ago, and I will never forget, we were on a safari. It had just started, like we're 30 minutes in, and our driver stops us and he's like, "This, you're about to see something that is so rare." And I'm looking around and we don't really see anything going on. And he sees one lone antelope. And when he sees that thing alone, he's like, you know, we didn't see a predator anywhere nearby, but he saw that this one antelope was alone. It had wandered off from the others. It was by itself. And he was like, "I think we're about to see something." And so we sat there and we were watching. And before you knew it, this leopard came. And I mean, out of nowhere, attacked this thing and pulled it up a tree, and it was done. And, you know, I remember even in that moment, just watching that thing, thinking, this is such a picture of what happens to us when we're alone and we're isolated and we're not connected to the app, when we're not connected relationally, when we're not close by people who are watching out for us and who've got our back. And, you know, that animal died that day in a way that I see so many going down right now. There's a report too that I saw, a separate one about a week ago, saying that in this last year, 42% of all people in full-time ministry have considered leaving full-time ministry permanently. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons it cited anxiety, but loneliness was at the top of the list of the reasons that people are just wanting to throw in the towel and quit, that they are not having meaningful connection and meaningful relationships. The people are so lonely that they just want to abandon ministry. And boy, I mean, I think if for the other listeners, you know, listening right now, if that's you, I just want to say, I get it. You know, there have been moments in the last 2 years when it has just all felt like too much. And then on top of all that we're facing as a people, and then as people in ministry, you know, that the pressures of that, there have been moments in my own life when I thought, I just don't know that I can go any longer. And so I think a huge part of that is isolation. And a huge part of that is that we have fallen out of meaningful relationship with one another. And, you know, maybe it's because of busyness. That I certainly get. You know, I think we can fill our lives so full of so many things that we lose the things that matter most. And without connection, without staying in that tight pack, you know, together, and having people who are close to you and who can see danger coming that sometimes we don't see, I think we're in real danger. And so I'm a huge believer in connection. I'm a huge believer in relationship, in sisterhood relationships. And so I just think maybe more than ever in my lifetime, I'm seeing a need for us to come back to real meaningful relationship. And I think that means, you know, when I think of connection, one of the pieces or one of the pictures I see in my mind is like a puzzle, and how we are meant to be connected. And that involves actually like one piece touching another. And so that's where we find our place in the body of Christ, is when we're right up next to one another. And I don't know that that can happen in a real meaningful way only online.
I
think it requires some real old-fashioned relationship. And so I'm hoping to see a revival of that.
Friends, I am honored that you're absorbing the content we are sharing through today's conversation on ministry to women. But I want to give you the great news that throughout the month of June, we will be featuring a microblog series at sanctuaryministrywives.com that will unpack this topic even further. Every single Wednesday of this month, you'll find another fresh approach to this topic from four different guest bloggers. You may be wondering, what does microblog mean? It means that we aren't going to take up a bunch of your time, as each of these entries will take you 5 minutes or less to read, but will be loaded with amazing insight from each of our guests, something of value for you as a leader and for other women's ministries leaders you may be connected to. So stop by Sanctuary. You'll find the blog link in today's show notes. And let's talk more about leading women's ministries in 2022. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I've been listening to a lot of different voices, just trying to see what's being said about this, people that are being listened to, you know, high profile podcast leaders, those kinds of things. And I'm not opposed to the benefits of online connection. I feel like there's value in it. And obviously, it was a saving grace for us, especially over the last few years in a lot of situations. But I will say that I do hear people on both sides of the camp right now talking about, you know, we have to let go of this concept of the church. You know, even when Hebrews is talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as some are, and being able to adapt that to a 21st century model, and what does that look like for us today? And we have to understand that they didn't have the online option. And so, you know, that we can't discount that if that's what we can have, then that's... I've always been, Kelly, someone who's campaigned for something that others might be willing to give up on. So that's something that's near and dear to my heart. You know, as a general rule, I think, though, that we've seen the devaluation of, and pardon the buzzword, authentic connection in the midst of busy lives and sort of like this pseudo connection through technology. Obviously, you and I are benefiting from connection through technology today. And I'm looking at you in your face from where I'm sitting in my home in Oklahoma, and you're in your car in Maryland, and we're having this connection. And so I'm not dismissing that, but it sure would be nice, right, if you and I were sitting across the table from each other with a coffee and in a coffee shop. That would, I think we would assume and acknowledge, oh, that would be even better. And then an even better level of that would be if we were in a car on a road trip heading somewhere for 3 or 4 days where we were going to have uninterrupted conversation and connection. So acknowledging that there's a different level that could be had is not dismissing the value of that first level. But what I think we're unpacking today is the fact that we don't have to forego the benefits of online connection, but I think that we're today contending for something more, a deeper level, another level of connection. You know, I spend every day with my family, but we're all going in a variety of directions, and we come together in the evening for dinner. But right now, our continued conversation is talking about in a few weeks when we're all going to be in the car for a 12-hour road trip taking us out east, and the concentrated time that we're going to have together. And I want us to speak about connection amongst sisters in Christ and amongst women that we're hoping to make them become a part of that sisterhood in the level of connection that is a different level. It's a higher form and a concentrated level of connection. Give me your feedback on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love the online connection and certainly have benefited from it, and have friends like you all over the country who, this is such a great gift to be able to get online and see each other's faces. But like you, I agree in contending for the relationships that you, because I think it can't be just one of those. I think we mm-hmm. need to have some friendships that are up close and personal, that can sit with you and cry with you and laugh with you and really, you know, even have eyes on your life. I think there's something yeah. really valuable about the walking with people in life, that it's just a deeper level. You know, it's going to be hard for you from states away to really see something in my life that could be dangerous, or mm-hmm. to see something that I'm not seeing. Like, Kelly, you know, I'm just seeing this and I'm just wondering how you're doing in this area. You know, there's some of that that can't happen from far away mm-hmm. or maybe can't happen as well. And so I like you, I'm contending for some more deep, personal, kind of walking with people in life kind of relationship. And I think that people are hungry for that. I actually really think that this next generation who has grown up only knowing social media and only knowing this online world, I am seeing that they are actually very hungry for real and authentic and up close kind of relationship. They're starving for it. And so I think there's just something about getting back to some of that that could be very healthy for the body of Christ and for us individually.
What do you feel like are some of the specific benefits from that?
You know, I think that we can't wait until we're in a crisis to kind of develop a plan for it. Mm-hmm. And unexpected things just happen. It's certain that they're going to happen in all of our lives. And so I think creating friendships and relationships that are real and valuable, and someone who will show up to your home in a moment of crisis and give you a hug, you can't wait until you're there to develop those. Mm. And so I think even that, like, let's build friends and let's build friendships that we're pouring into and they're pouring into us. Even now, while you might not feel like you're in a crisis moment, because things are going to happen in life. And over the last couple of years, I've just seen that so much. And I've watched the people, even within our own local context here, who, you know, they've kind of been a little bit isolated and they've kind of just, you know, been slower to make meaningful relationships in the church. And then something happens in their life and they don't have a circle of people who are showing up at their doorstep with meals, and a circle of people who are showing up saying, you're going to be okay. We're going to help carry you through this. And so I think we have to be careful not to wait until a crisis comes in our life to make meaningful relationships like that. Let's be sowing into people and investing into people and caring for people around now, whether you think you need it or you're not, or you don't, because really we all do. And so mm-hmm. I think there's something about that, about, you know, having people who are come around you in moments like that. I just think about the way that Jesus modeled life for us, and even the way he modeled ministry. It's humbling to think about it, because sometimes I think we do it a lot differently in 2022 mm-hmm. than how Jesus modeled. You know, Jesus just said, come follow me, come walk with me, and let's do life together. Let's go fishing together. Let's pray for people together. And some of that togetherness is, I think it's just so important. That's how we learn one another. That's how we learn more about, you know, how I learn about your walk with Christ is by just watching you, by watching the way you parent, by watching the way you interact with your husband, by watching the way you treat people. There's so much discipleship that happens in just the walking together in life and doing life together. And, you know, man, those disciples got such an up close view of Jesus, and he didn't wait to just, you know, pull him around when he was about to do a miracle. Like, they walked and talked with him all mm-hmm. through life. They just did life together like that. And so I've even been challenged personally in ministry to bring people along, to not do ministry alone, to not do life alone. And for some listening, I know there's probably some young moms that think, like, I'm home all day, I'm doing laundry, I'm making meals, I'm feeding babies. How do I possibly have time for connection? And, you know, I would just encourage you ladies to just invite people to come into your home. And I think that there's something beautiful about us not having to, you know, have the table all perfectly set and have the house perfectly clean before we invite someone in. Just doing life and doing connection with people means bringing someone into your day. You know, just mm-hmm. come on over. I'm just folding laundry, but I'd love for you to sit here on the couch with me while we do it. And let's just talk and let's get to know one another and let's build meaningful relationships. I think sometimes we complicate it, or we try to make it too pretty, when really it's just about walking and talking together through life.
Yeah, there has to be a gut check moment there where we're like, you said we're not doing it the way that Jesus did it. And I think a lot of times we make excuses for that. That was a different culture. That was a different time. And all those things are very true, but there still has to be a side-by-side evaluation and figuring out, have we out-evolved Jesus's model? Have we rolled things into our lives that don't need to be rolled in? And it doesn't, they don't even have to be like horribly sinful things, right? It's just practices in our daily living. Is this what, even though that's what our culture is doing, is that what God has? And, you know, those checkpoints are so, so crucial. You know, we acknowledged in our initial conversation that ministry to women is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. And so there are women that are leading to, you know, listening today that are leading in rural churches, while there's others that might be leading a team of women who are leading a much larger group of women in the Metroplex. But let's talk grassroots here. What are some fundamental elements of cultivating a culture of community and connection through women's ministry in the local church?
Yeah, that's good. I think one thing that I've realized or am realizing is I cannot lead as a leader. I can't lead our church to something that isn't who I am. So I can't think, I want our church to be connected and I want our women in meaningful relationships. I think that's really important and I like that on paper. And then be someone myself who's not walking in that. Mm. And so, you know, if I want our women connected to one another, like I've got to be living that. I have to believe it so much that that's how I live my life, which means I need to be making space for relationship in my own life. And I think many of us would say that we're too busy for relationship, that we're maybe even in doing the work of the ministry. Like, that's so great. I want connection for all the ladies I lead. But as a leader yourself, you're not connected. And I've just found that that doesn't work. That if I'm not living it, if I'm not a generous giver, no matter how much I want our church to be generous giver, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, if I'm not someone who's in meaningful relationship and modeling what it is to be in meaningful relationship, then I can't expect that that's how the women in our church are going to be connected. And so it really has been a whole shift for me. And I think COVID's been a reset in a lot of the ways that we have done ministry and done life. And I'm still wrestling some of that because I think there's a tendency to think, okay, now life is starting to go back to a little bit of normal. So I'm just going to jump back into the way that I used to do ministry before all of this shut down. And God has really spoken to me about that and just even challenged my way of thinking, you know, was what you were doing really that effective before all of this? Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of great things and great programs and great stuff we did, but the church, the Big C church as a whole, was in decline before COVID. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to jump into the way that things always were. And I think it's a really important time to reevaluate the way that we are living our lives and what we're going to let back in our lives in this hopefully post-COVID era. You know, and I'm a doer by nature. I love to get things done and I love to say yes to people and I love to do. And the Holy Spirit's really been challenging me on that. And, you know, I think about what Jesus left us with when he left this earth. And we were told to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we were told to love people well. And then we were told to go make disciples. So at our church, we say it's love God, love people, change the world. Those are the three big things that we're left with. And so, you know, I believe that I'm in pursuit of loving God more every day, but I have to ask myself, how am I loving people? And if I'm not making space for actual human beings, I don't know that I'm loving people well. Mm. And it's been easy for me in my own life and ministry to do so many things for God on paper and to plan things and organize things and, you know, speak at an event. But I've really felt a new call to being with people. And to just loving people well, you know, to help build into and encourage people in a different way that I have before. And I'm praying that as we do that, that that becomes a contagious thing, that we are building not just a church of people who enjoy coming and then leaving, but that we are teaching people how to love other people well by being a meaningful connection and meaningful relationship. And so, you know, instead of this macro idea, kind of grandiose ideas, I kind of want to come back to the one-on-one and just seeing, you know, God, if there's one person that I can really invest my life in caring for them and appointing them to Jesus, then I want to do that. I want to be connected to people like you were. And, you know, Jesus for 3 years invested really strongly in 12 people. And so I think sometimes in this day and age where everything is big and everything, you know, can be flashy, we talked a little bit about that in February, but I'm just challenged personally to come back to meaningful connections and to caring for people well and pointing people to Jesus and encouraging them and being in their lives and allowing them to be in my life in a way that there's intimacy and honesty. And I believe that that's where transformation starts, that it actually requires some intimacy. And so I hope that's helpful. I hope that's pointing you to an answer. But I think more than programming, I'm just wanting to make sure that I'm living a connected life and that I'm modeling that in a real way for my family, for my teenage girls, and for our church.
Yeah, that's good. You know, Kelly, as I have attempted over these past 7 years to foster connection between ministry wives, I can tell you it has been an uphill battle. And our lives are all so busy. And while we recognize that we need connection, as women, we're especially negligent to make time for it. In fact, I believe that many women, including those leading out in front, may be especially afraid of connection. And I've been asking myself this question as I am perpetually reaching out to try to somehow communicate adequately how important this is. And I think it takes us back a little bit to where you're talking about the crisis management before there's a crisis. If we, you can always see when you're watching someone that's going through a crisis, you can see whether or not there were preparations made in advance or not. If someone has died unexpectedly, early in, you know, maybe prematurely in life, their family is left scrambling to put together those final arrangements in a way that someone perhaps who's 80 and had come to a place in their life where it was expected, those preparations had already been made. Or if it's someone that has been doing they anticipated physical illness, or they were trying to avoid it. It's all of these precursor preparations that are already in place when crisis strikes. And it's not like, well, then we're just doing it for that crisis zone. It's the fact that we know that seasons come in life and seasons change, and it doesn't have to look like a crisis for it to be an inner crisis, for it to be a personal space where I'm in need of someone and all of a sudden there isn't anybody there. And so how do we challenge ourselves as leaders first, and then those we are leading second, to carve out space for this? You talked about the fact that this is something that you've recognized you need to be modeling. So what were the steps that you took in order to make that happen in your life?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, as a leader, we've done some really hard work of trying to take an honest look at everything we're doing and say, what is a good idea that's actually taking the life out of our team and our church and ourselves? And so as hard as it is, we've said no to a lot of programming to try to make sure that we ourselves are healthy. And I think connection is really difficult if we ourselves are not in a healthy place. And so we kind of have a new commitment to being healthy and to making sure that our team is healthy. And that means saying a lot more no's so that we can say yes to things that maybe matter most, like making sure that our staff has healthy families and that we have not overscheduled their lives in a way that they're running on empty and then they have nothing of real value to give. Mm-hmm. And so there are things like that that we've had to do, just really reevaluating. And that is hard. I think as a leader, saying no to things and feeling like you could be letting people down in some ways, like that is very difficult for me. And I'm a recovering people pleaser. So that's a challenge, but it's been so rewarding because, you know, just we spent this whole last week with our staff, and I think our staff right now is in a really great place of feeling like their families are healthy, their marriages are healthy, and they know that we value that. And so they feel some permission to, because we're trying to model that for them, they feel some permission to live that out. And to not over, you know, there's still things that need to be done and responsibilities. We want to care well for the body of Christ and want to keep, you know, working hard. But we have to maybe start by asking ourselves, are we healthy? And if not, let's take some steps to let's change it. You know, I think we're going to either schedule our life or our life is going to schedule us. And so we have to do some hard work of maybe setting some new boundaries, so that we can live in a healthy space where we can have meaningful connection. So one, I would say that. And two, I would say, ask yourself the really hard question of maybe why you don't have or don't want those kind of connections. And I think sometimes it has to do with our own insecurities of maybe even being afraid that if we're in real relationships, that something in us will be found out, that maybe we feel like we're just trying so hard to keep up appearances and keep it look like we've got everything together, that relationships can be scary because if we let someone in, they're going to realize that things are maybe a little bit messier in our lives than we wish they were. And so I know that for me and for some women that I'm really close to, that that has been a barrier for meaningful relationship, is that you just really would rather people keep people at arm's length, because if they get too close, they're going to see the stuff that you don't want them to see. And that might not be a big sin issue. It might just be that you just feel like you don't have it together. I think that can be a big barrier to meaningful connection, is not wanting to be totally honest, not wanting people to see what's really going on up close. And so I would just encourage our listeners to, you know, ask yourself a hard question. Why do I not have meaningful relationships? And what is keeping me from having meaningful relationships? I think another very common reason for not having that is insecurity. You know, that we, you know, maybe we're afraid of getting hurt. We're afraid that we're not enough. We're afraid of rejection. And so there's a lot of things that possibly, especially as women, that we go through that would keep us from stepping into meaningful relationships. Because really, every relationship we put ourselves in, there's a potential of getting hurt there. And so it requires a little bit of bravery, a little bit of courage, to make meaningful relationships. But I just believe with all my heart that it's worth the risk.
Yes, and you know, I just want to challenge our listeners today to quit hiding behind busy.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we hide behind. I think that I hear this from a lot of leaders, and they do use those terms. I'm very busy, or they'll say things like, I just don't have space for that. And, it does go back a lot to where you are creating margin for the things that are of greatest importance to you. The best yes, the you know, saying no more than you say yes, so that you're saying yes to the right things. And these are all extremely valuable tools if we will use them towards the most valuable things. But I think a lot of times we use our busyness as our shield and as our excuse. And, you know, it is such a crucial and vital moment, like you're talking about, to step back and to have a genuinely honest conversation. And then once you've settled on what is the most important thing, determine what are the steps to get to the goal of what you have set aside for you. Recently, I quit my job and I started, you know, focusing on some other things that I had been kind of moonlighting at, you know, some things like everything with Sanctuary was put after hours of being, you know, full-time in this role and then being a lot of times single parent with my husband traveling and all these things. So pushing all those things to the forefront. And then these other things that were kind of on the back burner. After I finished this work, I was like, okay, well, I'm moving these things to the daytime, okay? The other thing that I wanted to put to the daytime was I wanted to be more physically active than I had been able to during this time when I was working, okay? So I started figuring out, what am I going to have to do in order to make that happen consistently? And so I signed on for a class that I have to go to now 3 days a week. I really don't have time for this class. In fact, it's extremely inconvenient. The time slots for it is just like, and it's a water aerobics class, so I feel like I smell like chlorine all the time, all the things. But I know how I want to feel in my body. I know how I want my health to look like on the other side of my 40s. I know what I want my children to see from my life. And so I am blocking that off, even as inconvenient as it is, for a section of time. I don't know how long this will last before I move to the next thing. But my point in bringing that is in this illustration is that I know what I want the result to be. And so I'm having to make some really hard carving of decisions, if you will, in order to compensate to achieve that. And I want us to relate that today in our quest for connection. Everybody can talk about it, but we're going to have to make the decision on what has to be moved out of the equation in order to make that and push it to the front burner, right?
That's so good. And I love that you brought that up because, you know, as we're evaluating, I'm this year I'm going to be 40. And so I hear you. I'm just like evaluating things differently than before. And, you know, our life is made up of our days. And so how we spend our life is how we're spending our days. Mm-hmm. And that's been, man, I've just been thinking about that so much lately. And, you know, in 40 years from now, on the second half of my life, I think, how do I want to have spent it? And I don't know that it's just all task. I want to mm-hmm. end my life with meaningful relationships with people who I have cared for them and I have invested in them and I've pointed them to Jesus and I've had the time to be there for them when they've needed somebody. And like that's what I long for. That's what I crave. And I think now it's part of my evaluating of all that I'm doing. And, you know, God, what really do you want me to be doing with my day? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to make Monday great. I want to make, you know, so it's not this grandiose thing, but just faithfulness every day. And, you know, really the sum of our life is how we spent our days.
Yeah.
And I want it to be connected to people. I want it to be in deep relationship, not me hiding. And like you said, hiding behind busyness and hiding behind all the things to avoid real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I think it's so important what you just said. The way that we're spending our days is so important.
Before we go, I want to see if you can give us some practical tips, you know, perhaps maybe like 3 steps or however you want to do this, of how to get the ball rolling with selling this idea of connection and the subsequent process once it's in motion. Because we've acknowledged, okay, this is what we want. This is what we need. This is what we have to have. And we've kind of touched on maybe some vague, you know, introspective moments, but as a leader now, we're leading these women. We've made these decisions for ourselves. How do we get the ball rolling in selling this idea to the women that we're leading?
Yeah, that's really good. I believe that this is kind of one of those things that caught and taught, maybe caught more than taught. And so I think there's something about in creating a culture, you always have to model it and you have to have people that are championing that. And so, in a way, because you have to be careful with friendship that it, you know, we always tell girls, we open up our sisterhood nights by saying nobody leaves alone. So you might have come alone, but you're not leaving alone. And, you know, you need to look to the person to your right and left and be brave enough to say, can I have your phone number and can I be your friend? And I think sometimes we really make it hard where it doesn't have to be so hard. Like we mm-hmm. need, there needs to be a little bit of a vulnerability there to just look at someone and say, can I be your friend? And it requires putting a little bit of pride aside, but as a leader, I kind of feel like it's my job to help take someone's hand and someone else's hand and put them together and say, you guys need to walk hand in hand. Like, you need to be friends, and to do that with all the women in my life. And so I think because I believe in it, because relationship and friendship and sisterhood has transformed my life, I can believe in it. And that's where it's an easy sell. You know, you can't sell something you're not using. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you're talking about like selling this idea to your church or your sisterhood, I think people need to see how it transforms your life as a leader. They need to see you being a friend and being a friend to everyone and really creating a culture in your church that breaks down all the barriers to connection. So one of those barriers to connection is feeling left out, feeling like there's this exclusive thing. You know, everyone is invited into sisterhood. It's part of why I love that work. You know, it's like this inclusive, like you are part of it. Like, girl, come on, you join right in. And creating moments and opportunities, whether it's, you know, just inviting a bunch of girls to coffee or sitting around your living room, but just being an includer, being someone who's intentionally looking for the girls in your church that need to be connected and helping make those connections. I think a lot of people are nervous to make them. And it's amazing to me how on a Sunday I'll have someone, I'll be standing talking, there's someone to my right, my left, and I've been talking to them. And then I realize they don't know each other. And so just saying, you know, Sherry, Marie, have you met each other? You're going to love it. She does this, she does that. Mm-hmm. And try to help make connections for people. And so I think let it be caught. Let people see you being someone who's in relationship with walls down, just loving people well. Let them see the joy that that brings, and then be a connector of other women. Even if you might be in a small church where there's, you know, 5 to 10 women, you know, just start connecting them. Start building bridges and creating opportunities for people to have relationships. And I think it's caught pretty quickly, actually.
Certainly. I noticed even just this week on the women's ministries page from the church that I attend locally, there were some young moms that have created what they're calling Mommy and Me play dates throughout the summer because all the kids are just now out of school. And so they had formed a Facebook group under the leadership, of course, of the women's ministries coordinator. And or the connections pastor, rather, and they're meeting up at different places, and it's not an organized event. It's like, we're taking our kids to the splash pad on this particular day and time. Bring your kids, bring the sunscreen, bring your picnic lunch, whatever. And little things like that, trying to interact. And so creating that, what it sounds like to me you're saying is, you know, modeling that, but then also encouraging, you know, especially if you see someone that is good at this by nature, just saying, would you consider, I know that you take your kids to this park, would you consider letting everybody know when you're going to do that? Because those are platforms and opportunities for just organic conversation to happen. It's not, you know, anything that has to be formally exchanged with cards and, you know, all those things. It's just, so what did you guys do? This is what happened to us this morning, and there was just major drama over how we were going to fix her hair. These are the kinds of, you know what I'm saying? We've all been that as a young mom. It's like, sweet Lord Jesus, I didn't know that we were going to be able to get here because somehow trying to take the kids to a play date is a nightmare. Those kinds of conversations, that's organic connection right there. You know, it's meeting you where we're all living. And so I think that's amazing. You know, on our next episode, which is going to go live in September, we're going to talk about small growth development. They're hitting on some of the key elements that you've talked about, you really believe are crucial for leading women in ministry, and then cultivating that discipleship arm. So what are just a few ideas before we leave today that you can give our listeners as they're heading towards fall and they're planning things for their women's ministry? What are areas that you're going to be addressing in your own ministry to women over the summer in preparation for fall?
Yeah, I love it. So I'm launching a group the first week of June, and this is a group of 12 girls that I'm intentionally going to be mentoring over the next 6 months. We're going to have an opening retreat first week of June. And so that is one thing, you know, an idea is to join arms with some girls that you think these are all the way from teenage to, I think, maybe 60 years old, this group of women that that I see something special on them and want to just intentionally invest in them, knowing that these could be women who will then intentionally invest in other women. And so trying to start a cycle here of women caring for women and then getting, you know, just imagine how quickly that applies. And so for leaders, I would suggest doing that, you know, just very intentionally joining arms with some women that you can pour your heart into in kind of an extra way, giving them a little bit more attention than you're able to give to everybody in hopes that they then will in 6 months from now or a year from now be doing that, and that will then multiply impact there. Another thing, I love what you brought up, you know, just the organicness. We're really going to be challenging our church the month of June to care well for your neighbors and to care well for your friendships, the people around you. Summer is such an easy way to say, let's come sit around the pool together, let's sit at a park together, let's go get ice cream. Easy things that don't require a lot of planning, but just opportunities to do life together. I think summer is an amazing time to do that. And so I would encourage all the ladies to be connecting meaningfully this summer, both in mentorship ways and then in just building friendship, just building relationship ways. And leading into the fall, we'll be kicking off our new session of life groups beginning in September as well. And so I'm praying intentionally for some specific things. You know, there's some things that I'm noticing that are great needs right now in our church specifically. And so we have a group that'll be launching. I know Sheila Harper has been one of your guests before. We're launching a Save One group. One out of every three women in the church have had experience with abortion. And so we're just not going to be quiet about it any longer. We're going to provide support and help and believe that women are going to find freedom. And so we're super excited to launch that this fall. I'm also really praying for leadership in the areas of Celebrate Recovery and Grief Share and anxiety groups, as well as just groups for women to grow together in their faith. And so that we're excited and going to be even speaking to women intentionally this summer about preparing their hearts to launch something like that this fall. And so this is a great time for leaders to be thinking about fall. It's going to be here before we know it, and to really be discipling well and connecting women well as we go into the fall.
So good. You know, as we wrap up today, I just want to just challenge our listeners, because, you know, this is not a subject that is not being talked about. I mean, you know, it almost feels repetitious. I mean, I'm seeing book after book coming out about loneliness. You know, we just finished a blog study or a series at Sanctuary in April about Loneliness Island. We're talking about this, but we're going to keep talking about it because it obviously still needs a solution. And where it happens is that one-on-one and boots on the ground kind of experience, and really trying to not just talk about this is what it is or this is what is the need, but strategizing. What do we need to do? These are things that used to happen on the front porch, right? And we're kind of having to learn how to manufacture this in some regards. And so I want to continue to bring this subject to the forefront, but it can't be ignored, especially when it comes to ministry to women. And so this has been such a good concept and conversation. And we'll, again, come back with us in September. We'll talk with Kelly again about small growth and small group development, and then cultivating discipleship. And then I'm excited we'll come back in November with a panel of women's ministries leaders, and I'm really excited about where that conversation is going to go. I think it's going to be very, very neat and hopefully inspirational for each of you that are going to be planning your next year of women's ministries. Kelly, thank you again for this time, and pray blessings on everything that you all are doing this summer and beyond. It's going to be a great rest of the year. Before we close today, I want to highlight one of our episode sponsors by encouraging you to consider a relatively young conference known as the Acts 6-4 Conference for your 2023 calendar. This annual conference is currently hosted each January in Texarkana, Texas, and is a grassroots gathering of Pentecostal preachers and laity who champion the timeless truths and spiritual experiences that define us as an end-time global movement. You can expect this 3-day event to refresh you and your leadership team, granting you dynamic Pentecostal experiences, stellar worship music, seasons of intercessory prayer, and opportunities to connect with attendees from across the United States. The best news is this conference has no registration cost. More details on this year's speakers and sessions will be released this fall, but you'll want to stop by their site today to mark the dates for the 2023 conference on your calendar. Visit theacts64.com.